This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy Thursday as we welcome you in. The Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni with you live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. And my guy, Jonathan Von Tobel, playing hurt today at the home studio. What's going on, buddy? How are you feeling?
I feel really good, actually. I didn't want to open the show discussing all my ailments, but I guess we will. So, yeah, a little distant from you guys, but I think it was better for you that I didn't come in and infect everybody. But very much fired up and ready to go. We are inching closer to week zero. And let's face it, it's a test run because you will be leaving me every Friday at the end of every week. So I figured before you start on your journeys, I would give you a taste of your own medicine.
That's perfect. Yeah, we'll just get this remote thing going, get used to it. It'll be fun. It'll be good. Yeah. But no, I appreciate you playing through it all. And let's get into it because we do have a lot to discuss here. We are hanging out with you guys for the next 2 hours. So much news and notes, especially with the NFL and the NFL preseason. But let's set the table as we always do with the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
All right, top items on deck today with Money Moves. Couple great guests, Jeremy Plonk and Chris Vasili, going to join us, talk a little horse racing with the Trapper Stakes coming up. And then Chris is going to give us some EPL and WNBA bets. By the way, JVT, game of the night period yesterday in the W. How about Paige Beckers putting up 44 points last night against the Sparks? Unfortunately, she makes history, but it comes in a loss.
Yeah, she was getting a lot of compliments for her mastery of the mid-range. Obviously, has hit the ground running with her career in the W, but I think overall what I'm most excited for is to talk to Chris about the Premier League. Yep. In the Prem, we already have an odds-on favorite for a statistical leader, so that'll be a lot of fun to break down. And it was a wild weekend to open, so very much looking forward to a second. I believe they're called match days, so I can't wait for a second week of match days to see what's going to happen.
Just one game coming up in the Premier League today, but yes, five matches tomorrow, three on Saturday, I believe, and then like keep the weekend going. Okay, we'll also do our NFL futures portfolio. Similar exercise to what we did yesterday with college football, JVT, just going through our in-pocket NFL futures bets ahead of the season.
Yeah, looking forward to this to get your thoughts. Similar like we talked about yesterday, some plays that you have that I didn't have, don't think of. We do have some crossover in some of our plays as well. And a player prop that I feel like I absolutely nailed that is no longer up in multiple spots, so I'm sure it will flame out and I will be completely wrong on it. So very much looking forward to going over our portfolios. And by the way, I'm sure you're the same way. Not done either. I'm sure adding to these things. We're still 2 weeks away, actually 2 weeks exactly away from the start of the regular season.
I was actually going to say, potentially by the end of the show, or maybe tomorrow when we're doing our best bets on the way out, I might have a couple more things that we're going to throw in there. Yeah. Also, some major developments in the NFL preseason. And next segment, we're going to break down the two games that are coming up today in the preseason. Who's in, who's out, line moves on the spread in total. But there's also lots of injury news that's coming out of these camps every day. And two potentially impactful ones taking place yesterday for the Atlanta Falcons. Their right tackle, Caleb McGarry, was carted off the practice field with a leg injury. MRI today. I haven't seen any updated news on that. So still TBD what the severity of that is going to be. But if he's expected to miss time, that's significant because Michael Penix Jr. is a left-handed quarterback, so McGarry actually protects his blind side. Plus, on top of it, swing tackle Storm Norton is going to miss the next 6 to 8 weeks. We know that, dealing with an ankle injury that he had to have surgery on. So some impactful developments for the Falcons' offensive line that is supposed to be a strength for this offense entering the year.
Do you feel a special connection with Storm, given that you both are of the namesake, of the cloth, if you will? I called you Storm the other day in a text message. I was like, I feel like I should roll with that. That sounds like a lot cooler. But I will say, to your point, you look at some of these numbers for the guys that we could see on the blind side here for Penix. Brandon Parker, so far in this preseason, we've only seen him for 41 pass blocking snaps, 38 total opportunities, but he's given up three pressures on those opportunities. Not particularly great for the former Oakland Raider third round pick back in 2018. Jack Nelson, obviously haven't seen much of him either, considering he is a seventh round rookie, but 54 snaps in the preseason, 51 of them pass blocking opportunity potentially, and he has given up about four pressures, four hurries, hasn't allowed a sack. So this is obviously really big when you're talking about what Penix is going to be here. And, you know, it's funny because we're going to talk about a very good news, a bit of news, at least for a division rival in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But there were so many people, Stormy, that thought, hey, you know what? This Buccaneers season could be derailed because of a key injury to a guy like Wirfs. You do wonder if you're going to see that same trickle effect now here for Penix if this is a very serious injury for his right tackle.
Yeah, you wonder what the shuffling up front might have to look like if they're starting to miss some depth there. And especially, though, like this is a team that has pretty high expectations entering this season with Michael Penix Jr. as the guy. Win total, though, 7.5 plus 240, second shot in the NFC South. Also worth noting here, too quickly before we move on, first-round rookie linebacker out of Georgia, Jalen Walker, who missed Friday's preseason game with a groin, will remain out and miss this weekend's preseason game as well against Dallas. Raheem Morris did call it precautionary, though. Just wanted to make sure we got that out there. But let's go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are the division favorites, minus 115 to win. I believe it's a sixth straight. Like, they've won five straight, I think. But Tristan Wirfs, who you mentioned, and Chris Godwin, we got updates from Todd Bowles and some insiders. Both will reportedly start the season on the 53-man roster, not the physically unable to perform list, so they have the opportunity to play in those first 4 weeks of the season. That said, for Godwin specifically, the decision was made to give him the opportunity to practice and ramp up his workload, but ESPN's Adam Schefter said he's expected to start practicing closer to week two, but that he's right on target with what the team has expected and has been pleased with his progress. So two potentially big early season additions that had scares coming into the year for the Bucs.
Yeah, I mean, so this is big for me, obviously, right? Like, I'm somebody who's very high on the Tampa Bay, and, like, I'm closer to what their ceiling is. You're coming along. I'm kidding. Don't yell at me again. But, like, this is a team that we can expect quite a bit of, I think, coming this year. And, like, this is kind of going back to – we discussed this at the trade deadline, whatever it was – but the gamble of investing in these Bucs futures prior to the start of the season, which was, you know, reading between the lines, listening to what Bowles said. The week that you were gone, we had played a clip from Todd Bowles essentially saying, like, you know, we think he's kind of closer than the initial timeline might think. Now all these moves suggest that that is the case with Wirfs, obviously, with this wide receiver core as well. You add to the cherry on top, Stormy, which is every single indication, both on the field and from reports, Amike Igbuka looks like he's going to be great to add to this wide receiver core as well as we enter 2025. If you're somebody who thinks that this is a team that can win this division again, that can compete for a top seed, that is going to hit its stride, these are all great bits of news for Tampa Bay. And by the way, the two bits of news overall, meeting head-to-head in 2 weeks as they will play each other week one. And that's going to be pretty interesting too, as the Bucs right now are short road favorites. But the impact of this news, if the offensive lineman is going to be hurt for Atlanta, and just how much healthier this team is going to be in the big picture, it's a big matchup already starting out the year for both of these teams.
Yeah, no question about it. And for the Bucs too, I know there are a handful of teams that we're going to discuss as we go today and tomorrow in the NFL that have really difficult back ends of the schedule. For the Bucs, that could be ripe for opportunity with what they have on the slate as well if everything does go right for them as the season goes on. Another move we saw come through this morning and yesterday, the Chiefs have traded Sky Moore to the 49ers for a future pick swap. And it's funny because I'm filling out some news items in the rundown last night before I go to sleep. And I wrote additionally in here, Sky Moore joins Ricky Pearsall and Russell Gage as two of the healthier wide receiver options for the San Francisco 49ers. Yep. And then we get the news this morning. Gage, this morning from Adam Schefter, put out a report. He is believed to have suffered a sprained MCL that's going to sideline him for the next 7 to 10 days. So short term, at least. But let's quickly take a gander at what is now a CVS receipt list of 49ers wide receiver injuries. Brandon Ayuk dealing with the ACL. He's going to start the season on PUP, so we won't see him until at least week 5 or 6. Juwan Jennings dealing with a calf and or hold-in contract situation. I feel like he will be fine and ready to go. We'll see, though. DeMarcus Robinson, 3-game suspension to start the season. Jordan Watkins has a high ankle sprain, and Jacob Cowing just got added back to the injury list with a re-aggravated hamstring. So they bring in Sky Moore. Not really something that moves the needle, but for a position that is just so decimated right now, we will take anything we can get.
Well, first off, I mean, what was Shanahan doing to these guys during this preseason, right? I mean, like, was he running them through the mile? Like, what's going on? Now, I will say, and I think we brought this up when we first talked about this receiver position, if there is an offense that raises the floor of a weak wide receiver core, and it's weak right now,
yes,
I feel like it's going to be this one, right? One that is built on its running game, that is very much with timing and scheme. You still have Kittle, who is out there as well, who is going to help you offset some of the losses at the position. You've mentioned, I think, the important name here, Ricky Pearsall, who showed some really good flashes at the end of last year, who I think you're going to be pretty comfortable with him out there as well. You obviously, from a probability standpoint, you think take a hit if you're, again, kind of invoking what we talked about with the Bucks, somebody who's high on the 49ers. You and I both are heading into the 2025 season. I think, though, if there was a team out there that could still achieve some great heights with an easy schedule and a scheme like this, the 49ers are among the few, I think, that could tolerate some losses like this at wide receiver in the short term.
Yeah, I think you put it well. They're an offense that is built on versatility under Kyle Shanahan and how creative that he can be with certain guys. And so, yes, you mentioned George Kittle, who is one of the best tight ends in the National Football League right now, and CMC, who can do, yes, everything that he does in the run game, but can be available as a short passing game threat. Maybe you utilize Kyle Juszczyk a little bit more. And I am somebody who has some pretty high expectations for what Ricky Pearsall can grow in to be as a complement to Juwan Jennings, who I do anticipate we ultimately see out there. But as I mentioned, dealing with a calf and obviously wants his contract readjusted, even though they already did it last year too. But it's fine. It's fine. Sky Moore, former second-round pick, did not record a catch in 2024 with the Chiefs, did spend most of last season on IR with a core muscle injury, but last week in the Chiefs preseason game, returned a punt for 88 yards and a score, also dropped two passes and muffed a kickoff. So it's a mixed bag.
I was very big on
Sky Moore.
Yeah, I was big on Sky Moore back in the day. I had an offensive rookie of the year ticket on him. I don't think that cashed, and I don't think I've gotten my money back for it. But, I mean, there's something there. And, again, if there's an offense where you can scheme him up and get him out in space, I mean, I don't think it'd be crazy to see a resurgence of Sky Moore's career.
And, hey, like the great Sheryl Crow once said, sometimes a change could do you good. And maybe just a change of scenery for Sky Moore could flip the tables for him a little bit. We shall see. Okay, we're going to take our first time out of the day. We're just getting started here on Money Move. Stick around. The NFL talk continues coming up next. We got two preseason games on deck tonight. We'll hit the line moves, who's in, who's out, and some of the other preseason things you need to know ahead of the weekend. We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before the line moves, remember the sharp plays is already there. They don't just follow the market, they help move it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI and plugged into trusted insider sources, the sharp plays delivers the edge serious bettors use every day. Free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all sent straight to your inbox or X feed. And since 2011, the Sharp Plays has delivered those documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts each and every day. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check it out today, SharpPlays.com. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to Money Moves. We spoke with Chuck Esposito on the program yesterday, director of the Race and Sportsbook out there at the Red Rock Sportsbook here in Las Vegas, and he talked about how aggressively they have had to move a lot of these NFL preseason games. JVT, week three is no different already, just looking across the board. Yep. And of the two games that we have today, the first one, Steelers and Panthers, the Panthers actually opened late, like early morning Sunday night, 1 a.m. or so, as a 3-point favorite, full swing to the Steelers, who are now out to a consensus 5.5, actually 6 here at Circa, where I'm broadcasting from. The total bet down from 36.5 to 34. No Aaron Rodgers for the Steelers. We will see some starters, but not the marquee names. Mike Tomlin said no DK Metcalf, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, or Jalen Ramsey. For the Panthers, they're sitting their starters all together. And in addition to no Bryce Young at quarterback, no Andy Dalton either, dealing with a muscle strain in his elbow area right now.
Okay, so you officially saw Jalen Ramsey is listed as one of the out bodies, right?
That's what I was reading this morning, yes.
Right. So, no, because I'm with you. Like, so this goes back to the only, like, big, I guess we'll call it big name of note that I know is going to play outside of, yes, like the routine starters, maybe along the offensive line, is Darius Slay. The whole point here being, are we really sure that this should be, like, up to 5.5, yeah, 6 in favor of Pittsburgh, right? Like, I know you might get some starters along some other positions, but, again, for how long? Clearly, this isn't going to be a game That means a ton to the Steelers, because if it did, if they were really counting about continuity and getting guys out there, then I think the names that you just rattled off were probably going to be out there. I understand that Carolina's passing game has not been great. Jack Plummer leads the Panthers in total dropbacks in the preseason. It's been awful. 66% completion on the surface is great, but he's thrown two interceptions. He's got a total of three turnover-worthy plays. PFF gives him a 36.7 passing grade. He hasn't tossed a touchdown. He's going to play a majority of this contest, but again, I think you're still going to get a vast majority of the backups for most of this game. And we have seen time and again, like, you know, we'll invoke some of these big line moves just last week, Stormy, right?
Yeah.
The Colts were playing their starters against two-time owner Green Bay Packers, Brian Ortega's Green Bay squad, and they didn't cover the game. They ended up winning it outright. So I think this seems pretty strong with the news that a lot of the key members in a key positions too, mm-hmm. right? Wide receiver, quarterback, edge rusher, aren't going to be out there for the Steelers today. The six seems like a lot, and Circa, as we were just speaking, moved to six.
I think there's a couple factors in it. Yes, probably a fade of Plummer, who you mentioned. Also the fact that Bryce Perkins right. was just signed last week. If he comes in, former UFL MVP, though, mind you, compared to the Steelers and their quarterback room, guys with experience in Skylar Thompson, Mason Rudolph, also the Panthers' defense being pretty bad so far. Panthers 0-2 this preseason, outscored 50-13 by the Browns and Texans. Also under Canales, 1-4 straight up, 0-5 ATS in the preseason since he took over last year. So I think there's just kind of a confluence of factors that are anti-Panthers in this game. I stayed off of it altogether. I do, however, have some interest in the Patriots-Giants game that will start about an hour after the Panthers game. Giants laying 6.5, total 37.5. Another big line move here where the Giants open as a 2.5-point dog, now out to laying 6.5. Total has been pretty steady despite DraftKings bet splits right now showing 85% of the bets and 88% of the handle on the over. And that is the side that I'm on in this game. I like that over 37.5. Giants beat the Bills and Jets with the offense putting up 30 plus points themselves in each. Patriots have also performed well this preseason, dogged the Commanders in week one, 48-18. Didn't have the same scoring potential against Brian Flores' defense at Minnesota last weekend, but still won 20-12. Both Josh Dobbs and Ben Wooldridge have delivered performances that have been decent. And Jackson Dart, I expect we see more of him, the number 25 overall pick, a guy that they're trying to develop and see what he has. Went 12 of 19 for 154 and a touchdown against the Bills. Followed that up going 14-16 against the Jets, 137 yards and a touchdown. And Mike Kafka has been so complimentary of him. I feel like we should get some offense in this game. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I won't disagree with you at all, especially with a team like the Giants, whose quarterback depth chart, as you mentioned, Dart. We know about Jameis Winston on the back end is a little bit deeper than I think most. We know, and the market would tell us, it's not like 100% fact, but according to practice reports, the way the ones ran the other day, especially at the end of practice, Patriots aren't going to send out their starters. So you can kind of get an idea of what that's going to look like here today for the New England Patriots, but wouldn't say no to it at all. And I think you're right. Like, when it comes to not quarterback competition mostly, but just getting a look at a guy that you're not going to see for a while, considering he's not going to start for you, it would seem that it makes sense to get Jackson Dart some run, put him in a situation that is solid game plan wise as well, and get him out there and get some mist on it and see what it's going to be. So I think it does make some sense here that you're going to get this game to potentially push the over. Like you mentioned, no real big market moves, but I will say, to your point, offshore, we're starting to get to 38. So I'm sure we'll start to see locally that we're going to get to the point where we start to see it go over as well.
Stormy Bonantoni, JVT with you here on Money Moves, talking NFL preseason. Those are the two games tonight, but we got some other news and notes about what some teams might be doing this weekend as well. In the Bills and Bucks game, Todd Bowles said, as I mentioned in the first segment, no Bucks starters are going to play in the preseason finale. And then Sean McDermott telling reporters this morning, no Josh Allen either on the other side. That'll be the first time in his career Allen did not participate in the preseason. That from Adam Schefter. Bucks from -2.5-point favorites to 2-point dogs now to Buffalo, looks like. What are you looking at?
Let's see. I do have the same thing. Okay. Yeah, 2-point dogs. Total 36.5.
And that is down, by the way, from 37.5 as well. Anything surprise you there? Or did that sound about right?
No, that sounds about right. I mean, I think these last week preseason games, I think, are always really interesting just because we have seen for a lot of these teams that they've thrown their starters out there. Obviously, Cincinnati, one of those teams, and we just don't know how they're going to handle these, especially if you're going to start to get to some of these backups. But I will be curious to see if we start to see a little bit more of a turn in that. Hey, you know, teams like Buffalo, as they get a little bit more long in the tooth, Josh Allen's been there and done that. They're obviously not going to put their guys out there. But then you get the inverse, which is Kansas City saying, like, hey, these guys are going to play for 2 weeks. We want to make sure that they're going to be okay and get some run out there as well. So it's, again, preseason's all information-based, but I'm more curious to see the teams that play their starters. Is it just for the sake of playing them, or are you actually going to see some sort of dedicated game plan at the early portions of these games, or is it just to get them some live fire before they take 2 weeks off and then don't play again until, you know, what are we talking about, 17 days from now?
Well, and that seemed to be Andy Reid's approach when he was on the podium this week. He said, quote, there's just a little bit longer wait between this game and the next one, so I'd rather give the guys a little more time in this game so the timing feels closer to our game. Friday puts the Chiefs 2 full weeks out from week one against the Chargers in Brazil, so that's kind of the mindset there. Also, by the way, on the Chiefs, Marquise Brown, a TBD for the weekend with foot and ankle injuries, said, quote, we'll play it by ear and watch him in warmups, adding it's day by day, and he doesn't want any steps backward on that. The Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites against the Bears, total 42.5 there. And then the Browns obviously have been a huge talking point this preseason as well. Kenny Pickett is reportedly making progress with the lingering hamstring that's held him back this preseason, will not play in the preseason finale. Joe Flacco, who earned the starting job, he is going to start. And this is another team in the Browns who they want to get their starters out there. Stefanski also hoping to have an update on Shedeur Sanders today, practiced on 11 and 11 drills yesterday. And then Dylan Gabriel obviously started last week.
Yeah, I would assume we see, like, so Flacco, I don't know how long you're going to put him out there at all, right? Like, you're not going to put him into injuries. You're starting quarterback. He's old as hell. You're not going to see that much. It is incredible to see how high this number is getting just based on that fact. And the fact that I would assume we probably, because here's the thing. Now it's over the next 2 weeks, the most fascinating preseason storyline will come to a head. What do you do with the four quarterbacks on the roster? And does this game affect how you're going to handle whether or not, I mean, I would assume the two guys that are on the bubble would be Kenny Pickett and Shedeur Sanders in terms of not being part of this team in this regular season roster as you move forward. So what this means for Pickett, if finally he gets some run, if he's finally fully healthy and he's going to get out there, or if Shedeur gets most of this game, if not all of it, after Joe Flacco decides to hang it up, right, because he's going to be done and get ready for the regular season, I'm going to be really interested. And I guess to that point, maybe the market thinks that this should be this high because they're going to give the opportunity to those two guys on the bubble to potentially win a roster spot. And I can't wait to see what that means for this game. But that to me is really what the talking point here should be. But I'll just go back to it, Stormy. We talk about these information moves. Just seems like a lot for a preseason game to get up to 7.5, given what we actually know what's going on here.
Yeah, opened 2.5, mind you. Total 39.5, up from 37.5 as well. The Rams, we know, under Sean McVay, they just don't play their starters. Stetson Bennett has played the entirety of both Rams preseason games so far, both wins, and played well. LA's combined for 54 points their two games with him, 44 of 64, 512 yards, 5 touchdowns. 2 picks. Good to note as well, while we're talking NFL preseason, Adam Burke, our VSiN.com managing editor, he's got an article up now for some of his best bets for the NFL preseason this week. If you come join us, VSiN.com/subscribe. Unlimited articles all day, every day. We're going to step aside. When we come back, Jeremy Plonk is going to join us, talking through the Traverse Stakes and a whole lot more. Horse racing, playing the ponies, coming up after a quick timeout.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking to play the ponies, you know First Bet is the place to go. As we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And the place we're going to go is out to hang out with Jeremy Plonk, who joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, First Bet horse racing analyst, talking through what is a big summer weekend for those of you who love horse racing. And even if you're not a big horse racing person, you don't have all of that knowledge, that's what Jeremy is here for, to help you cash some tickets. And as I mentioned, busy weekend at Saratoga, Jeremy. The marquee race, of course, the 156th Traverse Stakes. And there is at least one name on the card that people are going to be very familiar with and a big favorite in Sovereignty. What are the expectations for Sovereignty this weekend, as well as the rest of the field?
Well, the expectation for him is to roll through this lineup in the Traverse Stakes. You don't have Journalism, the horse who won the Preakness and chased him in the Derby and Belmont. You don't have Baeza, who ran third in the Derby and Belmont. It's kind of like one of those SEC weekends before the end of the year, like week 11 in the SEC. He's taken on Jacksonville State this week with a home game, it looks like. You know, he should get through this race fairly easily, but you never know. They call Saratoga the graveyard of favorites. We saw American Pharoah get beat here in 2015 after winning the Triple Crown. He lost to a horse named Keen Ice, who was an ultimate one-hit wonder. And, you know, some of the greats have lost here in the Traverse. So, you know, there's a hope for a gambler to try to pull an upset, but it should all be about Sovereignty. This is one of the top five betting days of the year in horse racing. Mm-hmm. 63 million bet on Saratoga last year alone on this one day. So it will be all in, I think, for horse players and some casual people now because of the presence of Sovereignty.
100%. That said, because you mentioned it, if somebody were to upset him, you're getting a little bit of bang for your buck. Who would that horse be if you had to pick?
Well, typically, if you're trying to upset a favorite, the way you want to do it is with a different running style. You know, if you're a come-from-behind horse, you don't want the favorite to also be a come-from-behind horse, because if he gets the trip, you're not as good as him. And if you're a front runner, you don't want the favorite to be a front runner, because, again, if you both get the same kind of trip, he's better than you are. So if you're going to beat Sovereignty, who likes to rally from the back of the pack and should be closing here in this race, you'll try to do it from the front of the pack. And that would seem to be Magnitude, who has the rail. He's got plenty of speed. He's won his last two races wire to wire, one of those in February in New Orleans, the last time out in the Iowa Derby off about a 6-month layoff. He had some minor bone chips that had to be removed surgically, so he missed all of the Triple Crown season. He's a fresh horse. He's very fast. We don't know if he can go a mile and a quarter, and that usually separates the good horses from the great horses. You know, we don't run many mile and a quarter races in horse racing, and when we do, they're like the elite races, right? The Kentucky Derby, the Travers, the Breeders' Cup Classic. So to win in a mile and a quarter in horse racing, that really separates the good from the great. That makes the task, even if you get a different running style and you get loose on the lead, that makes the task very hard to see Sovereignty getting beat on Saturday.
Okay, well, and even too, if they go 1-2, or if you're trying to do a trifecta box, that third leg that I was looking at just on name value alone would be Bracket Buster, but I have a feeling at 20-1, you're going to try to talk me off of it.
No, I mean, if you're looking at that third or fourth, you know, underneath in the trifecta or in a superfecta for the top four, that would be a kind of horse you might look at. But I can't imagine Bracket Buster going wire to wire to win this race. I don't know that he's as fast as we have with Magnitude. So if you're going to take one of the two front runners, he and Magnitude are most likely to go to the lead early. I think Magnitude's the better horse of the two. But could that mean that they run second and third and Sovereignty goes by both? That could be a potential trifecta play.
Should Sovereignty win, though, as we expect, do you anticipate him starting next at the Breeders' Cup Classic? And if so, how big of a favorite should we expect him to be there?
Well, remember, he's a three-year-old, right? Because the Triple Crown races are for three-year-olds. The Travers is for three-year-olds. When you get to the Breeders' Cup Classic, you're taking on all ages. So it'll actually be a step up in class. It'll be the toughest competition he's ever faced if he gets to the Breeders' Cup Classic. He'll still be favored if he wins the Travers, no matter if he's taking on older horses or not. He has the name, he has the reputation, he certainly has the resume. But the older horse division is pretty good this year. So if he gets to the Breeders' Cup Classic, that might be the time to take a stand against him. But I don't think this Saturday is the time.
Jeremy Plonk, First Bet horse racing analyst, owner of HorsePlayerNow.com, at HorsePlayerNow on X, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, talking through a big weekend in the sport. Let's move on to the Personal Ensign Stakes next. As you went through that field, what are some names that stood out to you? What should bettors know?
Well, we talk about the older horses in racing, right? Torpedo Anna was the horse of the year last year as a three-year-old. She's now age four. She's against fillies and mares in the Personal Ensign Stakes, so she's against her own gender in here. But she hasn't been quite as good as a four-year-old as she was at three. She's the favorite in this race, the Personal Ensign Stakes. It's race number nine on the card. But I think she's a bit vulnerable in there. I think she can be beaten. I watched her workouts on First.TV, a service that provides morning workout videos. I haven't liked the way she's trained up to this race so much. I think she's a bit vulnerable. It's a tough race, but I'm going to go with number one down on the inside named Randomized. Randomized has speed on the inside, and at a mile and an eighth distance at Saratoga, it's a very close start of the race into the first turn. So if you have an inside post position at a mile and an eighth, it's really emphasized a lot at Saratoga because the position of the starting gate in correspondence to that first turn. So I think Randomized goes right to the front. Six times in her career, she's won wire to wire. I'm going to give her a chance to do it. And Chad Brown, the trainer's got two in there. He's got one early in the race, Randomized, and then the late running Raging Sea, who should be closing at the end of the race. They should go fast in this race to Personal Ensign, but I'm hoping Randomized can kind of slough off the other front runners and keep kicking home like she did last time out at Monmouth Park.
Randomized 4-1 on the morning line, Raging Sea, 12-1. As I mentioned with the Travers, I like to pair some things together. I love doing a trifecta box. If I were to put one together for this race, how would you play it?
I would use Randomized as the key horse in here for me, but I think of a filly named Dorth Vader. She's run six times in grade one races, which is the highest level of racing. She's averaged 15-1 odds in those races. Nobody ever seems to give her a chance, but she always runs well. She upset many of these same horses in a race called the Ogden Phipps back in June on the Belmont Stakes undercard that was run at Saratoga this year. So I think she's a filly at a price who can get in underneath at a nice number. Leslie's Rose, Torpedo Anna, those are the ones I would want to use underneath. So I would put Randomized on top with the 4, the 7, and the 6 in a trifecta and try to get those other horses in some shape or fashion to run second or third.
All right, now we're cooking with gas, Jeremy. Let's head over to the Jerkins Memorial Stakes, an 8-horse field in this one. 3-year-old males, what should people anticipate when they watch the Jerkins?
Well, the Jerkins is named for the Hall of Fame trainer H. Allen Jerkins. He trained a horse named Onion, who upset Secretariat at Saratoga back in the day. So he was known as the giant killer in his day. Allen Jerkins, he's always pulling major upsets in big races. The late trainer's got a couple races around the country named for him. In this edition of the Jerkins, there is no standout favorite. So beating the favorite in here probably isn't that difficult because there's no standout choice. Number 2, Midland Money, has only run 2 times in his career. Bob Baffert trains this one, cost $800,000 or $600,000 at the sale last year with a rather obscure pedigree. That usually tells you the horse can really run. They saw this horse run in the 2-year-old in training sales last year. Midland Money's only made it to the races 2 times, has had some physical problems, but the 2 times that he's run, he's won, and he's won easily, and he's placed very aggressively in this race. He's never run anywhere of this kind of competition, but it's Bob Baffert, Joel Rosario rides. I think Midland Money is kind of interesting, and I think he's a fair price at 8-1 in the morning line. Baffert's got others in this race, so you say, how in the world is Bob Baffert going to go off 8-1? People like to bet his horses. He also has Barnes in this race, and Baffert also trains Matticat Road. So he's got 3 in there, and people have to separate which Baffert they want to lean on. I think maybe Midland Money is the one who's kind of a little under the radar, but maybe won't be after Saturday.
Okay, before we let you go, Jeremy, any other races that caught your eye this weekend for a potential advantage?
Well, in the Forgo Stakes, it's one of our races of the week. I thought this is a race where the 1 most wanted and the 2 Bishop's Bay in the Forgo are both horses that are turning back in distance. They've run longer races. Now they're cutting back to 7 furlongs. They're both medium range prices. And I'm going to try to use most wanted and Bishop's Bay in the Forgo. That's race number 12 with a daily double, which is like a 2-team parlay into Sovereignty into the Travers. So how I'm going to try to make money off of Sovereignty in the Travers is bet a daily double in race 12. I'm going to take the 1 and the 2 with Sovereignty in a daily double play in race 12-13, and hopefully we can make a little bingo that way.
I am all for it. Jeremy, you're awesome. Thank you so much, and good luck with your bets this weekend.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
Jeremy Ponk, everybody, doing great work over there at First Bet as well as Horse Player Now. And remember, with the Travers Stakes being such a marquee summer event, if you're looking to bet at First Bet is the place to go, the official horse racing partner of VSiN. New users on First Bet can earn up to $250 in bonus cash when you use our exclusive promo VSiN250 when you sign up. And again, whether you are new to betting the ponies or you've been hitting your head with a program calling home your ride for years, First Bet is the place to bet the Travers Stakes. Use our promo code again, VSiN250. That'll That'll earn you up to $250 in bonus cash. Now available firstbet.com. And again, check out horseplayernow.com as well for more of Jeremy's awesome work. We're going to step aside when we come back, shifting gears to a little bit of a mix and mash. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Our great producer, Brian Ortega, has put together a handful of bets that he wants to talk me and JVT into. Is that something you might be interested in? Coming up after this.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni and JVT. And if you think you're better than the experts this football season, you're going to have a chance to prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest. Same format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational that many of our listeners may know from years past, but contestants are average Joes instead of the pros, and it's free to play. You can register anytime throughout the season to still be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes, and the grand prize, a spot in next year's 25 Pro Handicapper Circa Invitational field. Sign up now at vsin.com/joe. That's vsin.com/joe.
What if I told you I have a bet nobody's thought of yet? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Although that is the voice of our wonderful Ryan Hunter, I sometimes wish it was producer Brian Ortega's voice, because he is the one who has come up with a handful of fun wagers for JVT and I to go back and forth and see if he can talk us into them. And we're going to start in college football, JVT, because Brian's looking at those top ranked on ranked games from week zero and week one of the college football season. And he put together a money line winner's parlay, taking the higher ranked team in each of those games. So he likes Texas to win at Ohio State, Clemson to win against LSU, Notre Dame to beat Miami, and Kansas State to beat Iowa State in Farmageddon coming up this Saturday. Pays plus 825. Is that something you might be interested in?
I mean, I guess I would say three of the four legs are sides that I think are the side, right? We talked the other day about Texas money line against Ohio State. I mentioned that to our boys, Dave and Jensen, out there in Kentucky. Notre Dame against Miami. You and I haven't spoken about that a ton. I do like the Notre Dame side there. I like the under, but that one's been really hit hard already. And then K-State is a bet that I've made at -3 against Iowa State. So three of the four legs I'm down with. I guess my quibble would be with Clemson and LSU, two teams that I'm relatively high on in their respective divisions, conferences, and what they can achieve overall. Yesterday, as part of our futures, I had LSU to make the playoff. I think Clemson is a team that is among the best. They were number two, right, in our poll, our top 25 poll. So that, to me, is the leg where I'm like, you know, I think it's the weakest of them. And, of course, it's a pretty short favorite outside of K-State on a neutral lane, just three.
We have an identical mindset on this, because that's the game I look to, especially with how much Brian Kelly has placed added emphasis on getting a win in week one. Could that be the one? There's always one leg that screws it all up, right? But as we've talked about a lot this week, with that Iowa State Kansas State game coming up on Saturday, I really like Kansas State. I think that's like a 24-20 type game. So I'm on the Wildcats with that one, with them winning and covering. Let's go to Major League Baseball. Don't sleep on the Rockies. So Colorado and the Los Angeles Dodgers going at it again today. LA, depending on where you look, some places more than a -230 favorite with Clayton Kershaw going. Shohei, by the way, taking the day off. Rockies with Chris Dahlander on the hill. 2-9, 6.43 ERA. Not a great matchup on paper for the Rocks, but neither was yesterday, Jonathan. People have been doubting this Colorado team a lot lately, and it has not paid off. They beat the Dodgers with Ohtani on the hill yesterday, 8-3. Second win in three games over LA, cashing as big underdogs in both. And did you know, since the All-Star break, Colorado actually has more wins than the Dodgers, 15 to LA's 14? Could backing the Rockies today be something you might be interested in?
First off, the Jonathan, I don't know if you should ever do that again. But I'd also say, it didn't land. But it wasn't as bad as the day that Mitch Moss called me Jonathan a couple of months ago. I was, the hell was that? Don't ever do that one again. Felt very uncomfortable. No, I'll say this. Look, I think I'm going to go on a limb and say probably not. Here's the thing. Otani got burned by some shoddy outfield defense yesterday, too. That didn't really help. Got smoked on the hip with a liner as well. Or actually, right above the knee. Yeah, whatever it was. So that probably didn't help anything either. I think they're in a pretty good spot to bounce back. You I think, kind of glossed over the biggest thing here, though. Chase Dolander, you're like, oh, you know, he's not great. Like, yeah, he sucks. Like, he's pretty bad. Like,
when I'm trying to sell you on something. I had to do it with the perky voice, the pep in the step, because I'm trying to sell you a bet.
Well, it's like, is the equivalent. I think you like this story. When I was younger, me and my family drove up north to like Eli or whatever to get my sister. We were looking at a car, right? And they had a bunch of pictures. This is when it was in the newspapers of this car, Craigslist. So we went to go see this Jeep, but they had only taken pictures from one angle. And so when you looked at the other side of the car, you saw that the gas cap was missing, that they had a rag stuffed into the gas tank to keep it from leaking. The undercarriage was like abysmal. Like, that to me is you glossing over Chase Dolander. Like, on the surface, this looks great. And then you dig a little bit deeper. I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I sold my old beater car in college with a zip-tied bumper, but I did tell that. I wrote that in the description. The bumper is zip-tied on. This is not safe. Okay, bet number three. And is this something you might be interested in? An NFC South 1-2 exacta, but it's not the one you think. Falcons first, Bucks second, 8-1. Is that something you might be interested in?
Who came up with this one?
Brian.
Yeah, of course. Like, what are we doing? You know what I'm going to say to this. No. No, I'm not interested. Why would I want a 1-2 exacta when the 2 is the number one seed potentially in the NFC?
Fine, you're right. We're moving on. How about this one? He's calling this the Scrambling Six Parlay. Lots of parlay action today. For must score a rushing touchdown, each of these three college football quarterbacks, starting with Arch Manning to get in the end zone against Ohio State, Cade Klubnik against LSU, and Carson Beck to score a touchdown against Notre Dame. I'm just going to go ahead here and say Arch sure, Cade sure, but Carson Beck, that's where you lost me. That's where you lost me, Brian. He had one rushing touchdown all of last year, and now you're telling me he's going to do it against Notre Dame. That's one of the best defenses in college football. Bye. Even at 16-1, I'm going to need more bang for my buck. JBT, I looked separate just to see, like, what was the Carson Beck price alone? You're only getting 3-1 on that for a guy who did this one time last year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want 16-1 on just Carson Beck to score a touchdown, let alone like on all three of these legs.
Yeah, gotta bump those
like
numbers,
you said,
Ryan.
Last year, yeah, he's got one. In totality, he's got 5 for his career. Now I'm good. I think I'd want a little bit more here. But I will say, I'll go back to this. Last year, I tried to chase this ghost, and it didn't go well in the college football playoff. Arch Manning in the rushing touchdowns is going to be something to watch, because I tried to play some anytime touchdowns once they got into the red zone. He's obviously a real threat. And what those anytime touchdown scoring numbers are going to be for Arch in some of these games, in some of the lesser competition, maybe not so much, not that much running. But I think they're going to use those legs quite a bit when you get in some of those big games. And I think that might be worth looking at when you get in some of the big ones, like Ohio State at the beginning, and then going forward when you get into conference play.
Okay, we're going to go to the EPL for this next one. And we do have Chris Vaselli, by the way, of Covers.com, who's going to join us in the next hour. We're going to talk some EPL and WNBA. But Erling Haaland is the favorite to be the top goal scorer in the English Premier League right now. He's already minus 110 after one game, a 2-goal performance against Wolverhampton. Every other player, 7-1 or higher odds. Would you be interested in betting anyone other than Erling Haaland right now?
I mean, just with the volatility of what sport is, like one match week in, I would say yes, right? Like, you know, you look at it, it's not like he scored 6 in the first match and he's got like this massive lead. So I understand why he's priced the way he is to an extent. Obviously, Mo Salah, and I think when we talked to our boy the other day, forgive me, Brian, in our ear, the spot didn't really work because of the reception, but I think he had mentioned in the garbled transmission that Mo Salah does have to deal with Ramadan at some point, and maybe that kind of dips into his potential as a scorer. But I'll take my shot with some of the other skilled goal scorers here, unless there's something I'm missing. That is a very solid, very, very solid favorite price this early into the season.
Yeah, Billy Bhatti, he came on and was talking about Mo Salah and just said he had an ungodly season last year, too, and that's just not replicable. The perceived value to me, and I could be wrong, so I'm going to ask Chris about this later, Victor Gyokeres, 9-1, Arsenal's new striker, one game against Man U, and everybody already hates this guy, saying they're like, oh, man, he's not a fit. And, yeah, it was not a great performance in that first game. needs to settle in, needs to create some chemistry. The dude looking at his numbers was just freaking dominant in the Portuguese league. I think at 9-1 compared to, I mean, he opened a week ago, he was 6-1. Now he's 9-1 after one game. I feel like that's a good opportunity. By the way, Saturday.
It's a Prem Arsenal show.
Look at us. Look at us. I told you I was going to do some research. Hit you with one more real quickly. Bet number 6, Brian put in. Best of the NFC West, the 49ers to be the last undefeated team. You get 19-1 on that price. Is that something you might be interested in?
I mean, not with these. It's hard with these injuries, right, to feel like super confident about what this is going to look like for the 49ers as we move into the season. I can't. I mean, there are some slippable spots. You're not as high in Arizona, but I am. I like Jacksonville as well. Obviously, Tampa Bay is part of this. Like, and we're just they do. But then, like, by week 6, you're going to Tampa Bay. Like, will you be able to cash this before week 6? I'd say probably not. To go through that without a blemish, I think, would be pretty hard.
That was the thing that tweaked it for me was I was like, okay, you can hypothetically get through the first 5 weeks of the season, but then you're at the Bucks, and that's going to be a really tough game. And is 6 weeks enough, even if they do win that game? I don't know. So I'm with you. I love 19-1, but I can't get on board. Okay.
Big one for the one seed, by the way, in the NFC.
Let's go. It is very important. Very important. Do we both have that 49ers bet, or are you just Bucks?
We'll find out at the top of the hour.
Dun, dun, dun. What a tease. We'll be right back.